Welcome to another episode of the Jam Pack Report today for March the 17th of 2021. Of course, my name is Samuel Adams, and this is a daily gaming news podcast meant to bring you the hottest news you need to know from around the industry, hosted on YouTube and podcast services around the world 5 days a week. It's your one-stop shop for everything you need to know. So if you enjoyed the show and you like what you see, hit that subscribe button and keep coming back for more. But some big news came out of the world of PlayStation yesterday, because former Google Stadia VP Jade Raymond has now founded a new PlayStation studio in Montreal called Haven, and they are already at work on a brand new IP. News comes by way of the PlayStation blog, with a blog post from Jade Raymond, who writes, quote, "It's been a strange and difficult past 12 months. The pandemic, social injustice, and job elimination have impacted many of my closest friends, family, and coworkers. All of these factors, paired with an inability to see friends and family face-to-face, lulled me into a kind of self-reflective cocoon where I had to ask myself some tough questions about what really matters. I've been making games for a long time, over 25 years now. I've had the opportunity to lead the creation of two highly successful original IPs and build multiple teams and studios from the ground up. Some of these adventures have been more successful than I could have ever imagined, and others less so. Several people have asked me recently, after all of these experiences, do you still want to be in the games industry? The answer is always an unwavering yes. The games industry is where I belong. Whether it's playing Settlers of Catan with my kids or Valheim with my team, games continue to bring me joy. They're a way to relax, connect, and share experiences with people I care about. And the act of making games is, in many ways, even more fulfilling. Getting to bring together experts across so many different creative fields, from music composers to concept artists to programmers, yes, programmers are creative too, into a perfectly synced orchestra that delivers new worlds for players to explore. For me, there is nothing more fulfilling or rewarding I can imagine doing. As I took stock of my career over the last few years and started to think about what to do next, I came to a very simple conclusion. I need to get back to what I love doing most, and do so in a way that gives our team the freedom to explore, inspire, and create. And so today, I'm announcing Haven, an independent studio where many of the talented game developers I have worked with for years and loved dearly are coming together to do what we are most passionate about. It's time for us to refocus on games in a place where we can practice our crafts without any barriers or impediments. We want to create worlds where players can escape, have fun, express themselves, and find community. We want to pour our passion into a project. We want to make something wondrous for people to experience, because we believe in the power of games to bring joy to people's lives, and Sony does too. Their commitment to excellence is unmatched. It's why I couldn't be happier for their backing and support. Together, we want to create games that are a haven for players, and we want to build a studio that is a haven for developers. So, while we don't have many details to announce today, I want the PlayStation community to know that Haven Studios is already hard at work on an unannounced IP. We can't wait to show you more. And again, that is Jade Raymond, who is now CEO and founder of Haven Entertainment Studios. This is awesome. For those that don't know the situation with Jade Raymond, essentially Google brought her on, and she has an incredible history of experience building incredible franchises with Ubisoft like Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs, and of course she's worked on so many other projects throughout the industry. But then Google announced that they were going to be ceasing further first-party development and focusing entirely on third parties. Shortly thereafter, Jade Raymond either resigned or was let go from the company, and Google began to shift their direction. She's an incredible talent, and so PlayStation, obviously, immediately saw her talent and scooped her up to create something big, and I'm excited to see what her team comes up with. Again, I think it's going to be a while before we see anything definitive. I think you should not expect any kind of big game announcements soon, but it is nice to know that Jade Raymond is still working on something new and fresh, and while it's easy to assume that these blogs that come out are more press releases than anything and have a lot of PR fluff, Jade Raymond is talking from the heart here, and I love the core fundamentals that are behind this company, where it's supposed to be a haven for players and it's supposed to be a haven for developers. And so that sounds like something that is going to create some fantastic experiences, and I'm excited to see what the team begins to create. But again, Jade Raymond, once again back at work doing what she loves, making games with a team of people that it sounds like she has worked with for quite some time. So that is fantastic in my book. But moving on to a more unfortunate story that broke yesterday, Activision Blizzard is reducing its esports footprint, and it's eliminating at least 50 jobs in the process. A company spokesperson told Bloomberg that players are increasingly choosing to connect with our games digitally, and the esports team, much like traditional sports, entertainment, and broadcasting industries, has had to adapt its business due to the impact the pandemic has had on live events. Bloomberg's Jason Schreier shared that his sources told him these layoffs are not entirely focused on fewer in-person events amid the ongoing global pandemic. Schreier also shared that impacted employees will receive 90 days severance, a year of health benefits, and a $200 BattleNet gift card. That last one seems to be in bad taste, in my opinion, but it's a nice gesture. $200 to spend on BattleNet, not bad, but it's kind of like getting laid off from McDonald's and saying, here's a Happy Meal to go, have a good one. Regardless, that last point to the side, 50 employees have been cut from the Activision Blizzard roster. And it's not a financial situation, obviously. Activision Blizzard is coming off of one of its most successful years. The executives are getting huge payouts and bonuses. It is one of those stereotypical, we're laying off these people, but these people are getting bonuses. And it's easy to assume that this is something that could have been avoided because it very well could have been avoided. Unfortunately, in the world of business, whenever a strategy begins to shift and whenever a global situation calls for a new approach, sometimes jobs just become redundant. And I'm not defending layoffs by any stretch of the imagination. But at the same time, whenever you see 50 jobs being cut, it's more than likely not the checking a box off of a financial sheet kind of situation, but more so one where these jobs are just redundant because you don't need, potentially, and again, these have not been positions that have been confirmed, but reading into the situation, camera operators, AV operators, anything like that for live production of esports events, or in-person events in general. If we are going more of this digital remote route, then perhaps you don't need as big of a team as you originally had anticipated. And so hopefully all these people land on their feet. Of course, anytime there are layoffs, my heart goes out to these people. It sucks losing a job, and it's thankfully something that I have never had to experience, and hopefully those watching and listening will never have to experience it either, because that's, I'm sure, a very jarring, uncomfortable situation. But unfortunately, it is the reality of many industries, and for the people that are laid off here, you are not alone. The last year has been rough on a lot of people across a variety of industries. But Tiger Woods has inked a long-term exclusive deal with 2K. This news comes by way of a press release. They write, quote, 2K made a hole-in-one today. You went with that one, didn't you? By announcing the company has agreed to an exclusive long-term partnership with Tiger Woods, one of the most iconic and celebrated figures in golf history. In addition, 2K announced it has entered into a definitive agreement to acquire privately held HB Studios Multimedia Limited, developers of the critically acclaimed and commercially successful PGA Tour 2K21, as well as the golf club franchise. The acquisition is expected to close in the first calendar quarter of 2021, subject to customary closing conditions. Financial terms of both deals were not disclosed. Tiger Woods' resume includes 15 major championship wins, 82 PGA Tour victories, 11-time PGA Tour Player of the Year, lowest career scoring average, and tied for the most career wins in PGA Tour history, among many other accolades. He is recognized as one of the greatest golfers of all time and is heralded among the most prolific athletes in the sporting world. Quote, I am looking forward to making my return to the video game landscape, and with 2K and HB Studios, I have found the right partners to make it happen, said Tiger Woods. I am honored to take part in this opportunity and look forward to sharing my expertise and insights as we build the future of golf video games together, end quote. Pretty big deal here. Of course, Tiger Woods is kind of the big headline here, but at the same time, the real story is that HB Studios Multimedia Limited is now going to be a part of 2K. And it seems like they're going to be pretty much developing the golfing franchise PGA Tour 2K exclusively going forward. Sounds like a good time. This, of course, comes just a couple of weeks after Tiger Woods suffered a huge car crash, so hopefully he's on the mend. I know he put out a press release a couple of weeks ago via Twitter and said that he was recovering well, and hopefully he'll be able to get back to the green ASAP. But congratulations to 2K. Tiger Woods is a huge name, and I think back to the early 2000s whenever I'd play golf games from time to time. It was one that Dad also kind of understood, and we could kind of get in there and play together. And Tiger Woods was always one of the big standout names. I mean, he is just the monstrumental name in golfing. I mean, you have Phil Mickelson, you have Roy McIlroy, and then you have Tiger Woods in my mind. As somebody who doesn't really play golf, those are the three that I know. And so Tiger Woods, of course, is the biggest. This is not going to change the name, though. That's what I was trying to dig deeper and find. It seems like it's not going to be Tiger Woods PGA Tour anymore. That was something that I believe they had done a couple of years ago. But it seems like he is going to be a bigger back-end kind of player in this game. But I could see it evolving over time. Regardless, PGA Tour 2K21 now has exclusive rights to use Tiger Woods in their games. Very big deal. I'd be interested to see how much money they paid to get that name exclusively on their roster. But moving on to another very interesting story, Microsoft has denied that a VR headset is on the way after IGN Italy reported the pre-release review version of Microsoft's new Xbox wireless headset displays a message stating that, quote, the VR headset needs to be updated. Now, IGN Italy went on. As you begin to navigate through these menus, this is not an exclusively one-off situation. The VR headset is referenced multiple times. An Xbox PR representative shared an update with Axios gaming editor Stephen Toledo that, quote, the copy in this error message is inaccurate due to a localization bug. VR4 console is not a focus for us at this time, end quote. This should be a very straightforward answer to the question of, is there a VR headset coming? And it is a straightforward answer. And I don't know exactly what localization entails. In my mind, localization is taking something from, for example, English and translating it into Italian or translating it into Spanish or Russian or whatever kind of language you might need. VR headset and headset, they're close, but it seems like there are specific discrepancies that would make these two very, very different. This feels weird. I will say, this is also a headset for PC. This is a headset that is compatible with Windows 10, and it's more than likely that it was programmed with Windows 10 in mind as well as Xbox. That's kind of the automatic assumption here. So it could be a Windows thing where they just accidentally kept a VR headset in there whenever they were making sure that it was all compatible and tuned in with the world of Windows. But still feels weird to me. That being said, should Microsoft bring VR onto the scene? Should they invest more in their VR technology? In my opinion, no. I think it muddies the message that they are bringing to players. Could the Series X successfully accomplish VR? Yes, it is more than powerful enough to make that happen. At the same time, Microsoft is absolutely thriving and killing it right now with their Game Pass lineup, with their first-party games being built out, with the Bethesda acquisition, and with the strongest piece of hardware they have ever released. That's a very solid foundation to continue building and building back better the future of Xbox. I think that if you were to throw a VR headset into the mix, you would have a similar situation with what you see PlayStation currently having right now, where VR is a successful venture for PlayStation, but it's just kind of this accessory. It's just something that is an additional option. There aren't tons and tons of players that are playing VR on PlayStation. There are millions, yes, but active users, still kind of up in the air. It's not as successful as PlayStation had hoped that it would be. They have announced that a PlayStation VR successor is on the way. A new model is in development, coming soon. That was a weird way to say soon, wasn't it? But the PSVR headset is in development, so Microsoft is probably looking at that and raising some eyebrows, maybe having a couple of internal meetings, thinking about what's possible. But in my opinion, I don't see Microsoft going down the VR route anytime soon. That's going to be Sony's shtick, and I think they're going to let them stick to it. Speaking of Game Pass, though, even more games are on the way. let's take a tee right here. Take a little knee, take a timeout. There are so many games on Game Pass, I cannot physically keep up. This is painful for me because there are so many games that I want to play. I finished Dishonored Definitive Edition last night. Fantastic time. I'm going to be going back into the DLC later on today just to see what it entails. And then you have so many other Bethesda games, tons of other games in the backlog that I need to dive into. I want to continue playing Halo. There are so many games that I want to just jump right in and really flesh out and give a lot of my attention to. But even more are on the way, including Octopath Traveler. That's a pretty big one here. But it's that time again. Megan Spur, community lead at Xbox Game Pass, writes on the Xbox Wire, pull up your What to Play Next list and start reprioritizing the games you want to play, because we've got a bunch of new great choices for you. Of course, we talked yesterday about Undertale. Empire of Sin comes March 18th. Nier Automata comes to PC March 18th. Star Wars Squadrons comes on March the 18th, included with EA Play on console. Torchlight 3 comes March 18th. Genesis Noir comes on console and PC on March 25th, alongside Octopath Traveler and Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire Ultimate Edition on PC. Even more, Superland on PC comes March 25th, Yakuza 6, The Song of Life, Narita Boy, and Outriders. Of course, that's just coming to cloud and console. We talked about that on yesterday's episode. Additionally, The Outer Worlds Murder on Eridanos DLC is 10% off through Game Pass members. We talked about that DLC and the next-gen update yesterday, so I wanted to point that out as well. I did want to mention here, leaving soon, you have Hyperdot, Journey to the Savage Planet, and Machinarium, so if you do want to check any of those out, you better go ahead and dive in, because those are leaving at the end of March. And as always, any games that leave, you can absolutely pick up for 20% off, so that's a good little additional benefit that you have with Game Pass. So there's the graphic if you do want to see it, what's coming to cloud, console, and PC. There are some discrepancies between all of them, but PC is getting some solid love here. I think Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire is a pretty good get, and of course Torchlight 3 as well. That Outriders, Star Wars Squadrons, Empire of Sin, Octopath Traveler, man, there are some fantastic games to dive into. Not to mention Yakuza 6, The Song of Life, that's a big get as well. Tons of Yakuza on Game Pass. So if you do want to subscribe, again, I cannot recommend it enough. It has revolutionized my gaming life in such a huge way. But to round out today's show, Super Bomberman R Online is coming soon to consoles and PC. Konami writes on their blog, building on the success of its initial launch on Stadia in September 2020, Super Bomberman R Online is making its way to new platforms. This digital download exclusive game will be available in 2021 on Nintendo Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and Steam, and it will be playable on PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. With cross-platform play support, you can play against players from all over the world, regardless of the gaming platform you play on, and you can stay tuned for more information on the release date itself. I want to point out something that Imran Khan shared on Twitter. He writes, quote, "So, a Stadia rep once looked me dead in the eye over a video call and said this game is only possible on Stadia because of the way the engineering worked, and it could not ever, on a fundamental level, come out elsewhere." Coming soon elsewhere. But this looks like a fine game. It's Super Bomberman Online, so I looked at a screenshot, and again, you'll have to correct me in the comment section if I am wrong, but it looks to be taking the kind of Super Mario, what's the Battle Royale on Switch? The Battle Royale. You also have Tetris 99 is one that takes this approach, where it's just this very big kind of competitive multiplayer game. So take that for what you will. Look into yourself if you do want to learn more information. But Super Bomberman R, previously a Stadia exclusive, now coming to other platforms, including, again, PS4, Switch, Xbox One, and Steam, with compatibility for next-gen hardware. A pretty big blow for Stadia, but, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to put your game where players are going to play it, and they're probably not getting too many players on Google Stadia. But that rounds out today's episode of the Jam Pack Report. If you enjoyed today's show, drop me a like down below, and let me know what you think about that new studio from PlayStation. Are you excited to see what Jade Raymond and her team create? I know that I am, and I would love to hear your thoughts down below. But until tomorrow, you guys have a fantastic rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon, and peace.